Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This is the word of the Lord.
I woke up this morning to hear the news of an ambulance being packed with explosives, driven into a crowd in Kabul, and I just can't but pray for that. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we hear these things, and they just beg a belief. We hear this, what's happened this morning or last night in another city, to a whole pile of innocent people. And we know that's just one of many incidents that have happened since the last time we gathered. And we struggle, Lord, to understand. We don't get why people would be motivated to do such things. So take an instrument that is used for healing and turn it into something that is destructive. But we don't understand what motivates people to do this and to act in these sorts of ways. Don't understand the thought patterns. So in your name, in the name of Jesus, we pray against these things. And we ask for your peace to be far more evident in this world. May this world be known as a world of peace, not a world of war. We keep asking that. We know it's when we look around, it's almost hopeless to ask that sort of a prayer request. But we believe in you, God, the God that created all this. And has your hands on this entire world, and so we do so with our confidence in you. We ask that you would continue to raise up people that have peace in their hearts. We pray for those who have been affected today by that bombing, nearly 100 people killed, so many more injured. We pray for their families, for those that are attending them, those who are dealing with the ramifications. These will be life-changing times now. We even dare to pray for those who are motivated to do these sorts of things, Lord Jesus. Speak into their hearts, we pray. Transform them. Don't let them continue this pattern of behavior, but help them to see that there is a different way, that there is your way. Lord, continue your work in this world. We struggle for words to know what to say, but we know if we bring it to you, that you listen and that you act. And so we pray that in your precious name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about thrive or thriving. And so, of course, as every researcher does when they want to talk about a topic, they type it into Google. And in 3.9 seconds, I got 105 million hits on the word thrive. Obviously, it's something that we think about, something that we talk about, something that we want to know about, and something that we want to push into. And I was at the movies last night, and I even saw an advert, and the tagline was thrive. We all want to thrive, don't we? But it comes to the end of the year, and you think, man, did I thrive in that year? Was that a thriving year for me, or was it not? Some of us don't want to go through this year, the year ahead of us, and be unprosperous and not thrive in the year ahead. We're sick of walking into the new year with great hopes and expectations and a whole pile of things that we want to achieve, and and then getting to the end of the year and finding that we're beaten again. It's like Groundhog Day over again. It just keeps repeating itself. And so this year becomes a lot like what last year was, and last year was a lot like what the year before was. And we find ourselves that we're just discouraged, and we get a bit tired because we feel like we can't pursue anything, we can't get anywhere, and then we get cynical because it's the same old thing that repeats itself. So today and for the next 2 weeks after this, I want to talk to you about thriving, about blossoming, about being the best you can be, about realizing your potential and even growing despite the obstacles that come in our way. I always look up an online dictionary when I'm doing a series. I always look up an online dictionary and try and find what the meanings of words are. And it described the word thrive as a verb. For people like me, they're not very good at English grammar. That's a doing word. You're meant to be doing it, thriving. And so it has an action to it. Thrive, described as grow or develop well or vigorously. And so the little tagline was, a new baby thrived. Well, the synonyms, I love synonyms because you can say the same thing lots of different ways. Synonym says flourish, prosper, grow, vigorously, develop well, burgeon, bloom, blossom, do well, advance, make strides, or succeed. Earlier on this year, I found a cartoon that I want to show with you just a moment, but I want to give a caveat first because I'm not in the habit of making any political comments, but this one does make a political comment. But let me throw it up, and maybe you feel a bit like this. Josh is going to put it up on the screen for us. There we go. So it's Malcolm Turnbull starting off 2017. Crash, 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 boom, 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 all the way down throughout the year. Gets to the end of the year, stands up and goes, ta-da! I don't know if that's you. Resonates strongly with me, how we get throughout the years. Of course, we can't cover every topic in a three-part series, and so maybe in due course we'll come back to this, because I think it's a good thing when we talk about how we thrive, how we go, how we flourish in life. I do want to say thank you to Marianne and to Ian, who gave input over the last couple of Sundays, and I want to say that we are blessed to have many quality preachers here who contribute to our life and our life of faith. And we are blessed as a church, and we should recognize that more often. While on the topic, I want to say how privileged I am to serve as one of the pastors of this church. This is a really good church. This is a great church. And over these last few years now, I've grown a deep love for this church. And I thank Jesus for the gift to me to be a part of this church. And so I want to tell you this morning that I love you, and that if you've been here for 40 years or 40 days, I want to thank you, and I thank you for your friendship to me, and I want to let you know that it's my deep joy to be connected with you and to share with you and to know you. I strongly believe that these are very significant days for us, and our days, our church, has a bearing on the wider church in South Australia and the wider Uniting Church in South Australia. We have a significant role to play as a church within our denomination. Indeed, we have a critical role to play in our community. But it depends upon us doing three things and three things well. And those three things are keeping humble, keeping obedient, and keeping faithful. And our future is full of promise and significance and vital importance if we do those three things: keeping humble, keeping obedient, and keeping faithful. When we talk about thriving, the Bible has a lot to say. There are many passages that I could have used to uncover this topic. So today, when you leave here, I want you to leave knowing this one thing, that God wants you to thrive. That God wants you to thrive. He does. He wants you to succeed and live into the person that He made you to be. Think about this. God gave us this incredible gift of life, one life that we are given to spend within the rules of society how we see fit to do. The Bible tells us in John 10:10, if any excess or excess leaders here, you've got this printed on your sleeves of your hoodie or your shirts. The second part of this verse, not this first part. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not a good one to print on your t-shirt. But this bit, I've come they might have life and have it to the full. What a beautiful verse from the lips of Jesus. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. I think God wants us to enjoy life. He wants you to enjoy your life, but not only enjoy it, to make it satisfying and a rewarding experience. I think God wants you to thrive, and I believe he expresses sorrow when you don't. When you don't live into the full potential that he created for you. And whatever reason that is, it might be that you don't know your potential, you're still exploring it, and in words we heard a couple of weeks ago, that you need to go beyond the reef that you've got. Might be that you're injured in some way or hampered by something, or maybe you're just too plain scared to push into the potential God has for you. These things cause God sorrow when you don't live into the way in which he made you and what he wanted you to be. I want to make it clear that this series and all our series, but particularly this one about thriving, is not just a young person's domain. God is passionate about all of us. So if you are 9 months, or 99, or 999, I don't think there's any Methuselahs here amongst us, this is for you. This includes you. Your name is on this. So there's no reason to discount this. It's not just for the person next to you. But I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say to them, this applies to you. Go on. Okay, good. You got the point. This applies to you, and God wants you to thrive. The passage that Bailey read out to us this morning from John chapter 2 is one that I've long mulled over. No pun intended, if you get what I'm saying. The New Testament book of John, and then in chapter 2, we're told that Jesus and his disciples, plus his mother, have attended a wedding in Canaan. I'm assuming his whole family was there too. About 13 k's away from his hometown in Nazareth. It was a big affair. Weddings went on for over a week, sometimes 10 days. Lots of partying, lots of stuff. And as you've heard, the wedding runs out of wine. And Jesus is asked by his mother, can you lend a hand? And the end result is that Jesus turns water into wine and the wedding party kicks on. Now, I've read extensively around this miracle, the first of the signs of John's gospel. And there are explanations around this miracle that are somewhat interesting when you hear them, ranging from it's a symbol of the dryness of the Jewish faith and how Jesus is renewing their relationship to God. Two, Jesus didn't turn water into wine. It was just really good grape juice. And then I've heard that God would not provide so much that people could get drunk because it's actually over 600 litres that he turned into wine. Two, I wonder what Chateau Miracle tastes like. The thing is, at face value, and it's well worth taking scripture at face value. At face value, and putting aside our own agendas and biases, whatever, right or wrong about that we're talking about and what we think about it, listen to this. Jesus saved the day for the families so that their lives could go on. He rescued the families from a great shame that would have come upon them if they hadn't made enough provision for the wedding. This tells me that Jesus is interested in our lives. That Jesus is interested in our everyday, normal, run-of-the-mill lives and all the details of our lives. And over again, we see Jesus in action and him doing those sorts of things. Connecting with people, raising someone from the dead, providing for this. But not only Jesus, read through the whole scriptures and you'll see this repeated again and again and again. God investing in people's lives, everyday, ordinary lives. And so let me tell you, God wants you to grow and develop and mature into the person he created you to be. And the Apostle Paul speaks this in Philippians 3, and in a few weeks' time, we're going to spend 5 weeks in Philippians chapter 2, but encompassing the whole of the book of Philippians. But here's the thing, God comes alongside of you to assist you in doing just that. But I love this bit about God. He doesn't force you. He's not coercing you. He's not strong-arming you. He's not blackmailing you. He's not, just putting you in a position where you can't but do this. He gives you signs, causes events to be in front of you and arrest you in all sorts of things, and he puts big markers there for you, but he's not forcing you. He's loving you, and he gives you this gift of life, and he says, I've got this perfect plan for you. I've got this way forward for you. I've got a way in which you can thrive and flourish. Would you like it? Or do you want to go your own way? You choose. So here's the question. The question I want to ask you, I've got several questions to ask you this morning. First one is this: in what areas do you believe God wants you to thrive? You see, I want to see you thrive, and I want to thrive, and I want the church to thrive, but what is God's way for you to thrive? And most of us struggle to find out what God's plans for us in life, and I've got some very practical ways to help us at the end of a sermon, but I'm not promoting a gung-ho carpe diem, take the world sort of thing, take the year, live into your goals and, all that sort of stuff, but rather, let's listen carefully to God's plans for our life. Let's listen carefully to where God wants to lead us. And our discussion then comes about discernment. I mean, discovering and listening and working out who you were meant to be and the person God created you and the full extent of all that. What do you believe, in all honesty, before God is your full potential? What does it look like? What will you look like when God's had his full way in your life? And I know that we want to thrive, and most of us would say, yes, Jonathan, I believe that God wants us to thrive as well. But sometimes our version of thriving and God's version of thriving is two very different things. And what I'm wanting you to do today is to put yourself in a place where those two can correspond. And you can merge the two together, because when you're in harmony with what God wants with you, in the way in which he's made you and the talents that he has for you and the opportunities in front of you, look out. It's awesome. I think that often, like that little cartoon that I put up, often we really want a different outcome by the end of the year. And so we want to get to a particular point, but our problem is that we do the same as what we did last year. And so we think that we know that 3 + 3 is always going to equal 6, isn't it? But we walk into the year and we go, 3 + 3, I want it to equal 7 this year. And our problem is that we never change the factor. And we never do anything different in order to augment some sort of significant change. And so what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that we need to change at least one thing for us to have a different result. So let me give you 3 points. 3 points to help us change things. If you're taking notes, then they'll be very clear. The first thing is this: shut out the noise. Most of us have way too much noise in life, and it is the scourge of Western society. Let me give you a personal example of how I deal with the noise in my life. And most of you, some of you would know that I love to put my pack on and go out outback or up in the high country for a couple of times a year. And if I can do that for a week at a time, more's the better. It's a unique experience and one that I've come to really value, but often for that, most of that time I'm traveling solo and I love to be alone, but being alone, particularly for the first few days, is very difficult. It is mentally very difficult. I don't know about you, but my life is just filled with noise. I mean, there's noise everywhere all the time. There's noise, in the morning with the family, lots of stuff going on, and someone's got some beats happening, and then there's noise in the car because someone's calling me or I'm calling somebody. I've got the radio going. I get in the office, and there's noise in the office full time, and Christy's singing, and all sorts of things going on. And then I get back in the car again. There's noise again. There's noise at night, and there's the phone calls and the emails and the Facebook messages and all the other bits and pieces going on. And in those first few days when I'm out there alone, my body is screaming for noise. It's saying, I need that stimulation. I need that external stuff. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And then after a couple of days, I just begin to be quiet. And I get to hear. And I hear the world around me. And I'm sudden start noticing things. And then I get to hear my heart. And the more often than not that I get to hear from God, and God just impresses on me. I don't hear audible voices, but I hear impressions, or I get a sense, I get a feeling about that. And then I often hear something about the church and about the direction of the church and where we're going. And I'm at peace. Now, I'm suggesting to you today that to thrive, you have to consciously and deliberately put yourself into a place where you can hear. Where you shut out the noise. A physical, a mental, and a spiritual place where you are not bombarded with noise and external stimulation. But it's where you can just be. Now, for most people, it's not a weeks-long backpacking trip. Let me assure you, that's fine. Leave that to me. But it might be a change of environment. It might be as simple as no noise in the car on the way to work. It might be regular walks on the beach, not with things in your ears, but just, you remember old-fashioned walking without anything in your ears? It might be a special chair for 15 minutes every morning, and I know firsthand several people who have found them that very significant. It might be running. It might be a spot in the backyard where you can just go and sit. It might be the park, all sorts of places. But here's some homework for you. If you want to thrive and you don't just want to set goals, but you want to understand what God's goals are for you, here's some homework for you. Find a place where there is no noise and go there often. Thriving as God wants you to thrive means that you need to hear from God, and you need to shut out the space and leave room to hear the truth about yourself. Our biggest problem is that there are so many distractions that we never and rarely allow ourselves to dig into the deeper order of questions about who we are and where we're going. Let me give you some honesty to you from your pastor. Every morning I attempt to read my scriptures and do a little bit of journaling and say some prayers. I'm not talking about a John Wesley, 4 hours because I got so much to do sort of stuff, and that like super spiritual saint sort of stuff. But just a few minutes, just a chapter and just a little bit of reflection and a little bit of prayer. The overwhelming desire before I do that to check my emails is almost unbearable. Do you wake up in the mornings and you just like, you've got, or get onto social media and it's just like, what's happened in the world? I've got to know. But do you know what? I know if I do that, I know if I check my emails or I get onto something and I see something else, all that quietness that I've just gathered up from that night's rest just dissipates. And yet, if I do it, if I start the day with hearing God's voice first and allowing Him to hear me, and we sort of have this dialogue, it is so much different. You know, we talked about Jesus early and we ruminated on one of his miracles, but he knew the secret to this. He went to the quiet places. He heard from God. And if you read the gospel, you read the four books, the New Testament, the stories about Jesus, you will see that he does this, and he does it often. Second thing to helping us thrive, and remember, it's thriving to how what God sees for us. It's not just so that you can thrive in your wealth or all those sorts of things. It's thriving in you, in your character, in your inmost being. The second thing is to be critical from where our influences come from. You and I both know there are lots of influences which have power over us, and these influences have a bearing on how we think, and then, therefore, how we think, what we do. Sometimes these are good, and sometimes they're not so good. Immediately from turning the water into wine, Jesus goes in the temple. He sees the money changers who were there. He sees them operating and selling and all sorts of things going on. It's this massive big marketplace in the special spot where the Gentiles, those who were excluded from the Jewish religion, could actually come, and they were selling stuff there. And so what does he do? Well, we all know the story. He sits down and plaits this big whip and he drives them out and says, you've turned this house of prayer into a house of a market. And what he tells us is the external influence of the finance overtook worship. Out of balance. You know, in a few months' time, we'll have the Commonwealth Games. We'll see wonderful athletes who have trained for years, achieving incredible feats of strength and endurance and skill. And every gym in this entire country is delighted because they know that there's going to be a massive sign-up of people who want to be like this, and then within 2 weeks, they'll all be empty again. What we want is influence in our lives that enhances us, that improves us, an influence that is for good and develops us into being the best that we can be. We want an eternal influence, don't we? Don't we? Our faith teaches us that life with God, hearing His voice, obeying His ways is the best life there is. So what are the things that you allow to influence you? Who are the people that are speaking into your life? And here's the central question. If you're writing notes, I encourage you to write this one down. In what ways is God able to influence you? In what ways is God able to influence you? And I thought about pushing into, you know, if you can't think of something within 10 seconds, then maybe there's a problem. But I'll just back away from that and leave you sit with it. The third thing, and probably the most crucial thing that I want to push into this morning, and I'm nearly finished, is this, is that we have to sort out what really matters. We have to sort out what really matters for our life. To thrive, we have to disassociate ourselves from the things that that are taking up our time, our resources and our brain matter, and they take us to the things that don't count, and they squash out the things that do count. Forgive me for multiple backpacking illustrations, but let me give you another one. I've learned through bitter experience that if you carry the things that are non-essential, or even the things that I would put in the might come in handy basket, your basket is going to be so full, you're not going to go very far. You're going to have such a bulging pack that you're not going to achieve the goals that you've set out. I remember my very first ever backpacking trip up the Great Western Tiers in Tasmania, loaded with all those could come in handy items. There's a whole pile of cans of spaghetti under a big rock up there that I'm never going to use because I'm not carrying them back. I quickly learned that grams become kilograms. This is a principle of life. It's a principle of life that not many of us understand. We carry too much stuff that we have not worked out, and we have not worked out what really matters for us. We load ourselves with all these things. We stick all these irons in the fire, but we've not focused in on the purpose of life. You've got one life. How do you want to spend it? You know, I know that there are a few of us here that have had near-death experiences and some here that have had life-changing experiences. Those times come with moments of great clarity. You lose a loved one. You begin to quickly work out what life is all about. In that period of time, you can see with absolute sparkling clearness what really matters. So here's my question to you under this third point. Why do we let normality dull down our perception of life? Why do we let normality dull down our perception of life? Why do we let our lives become so cluttered with things we cannot focus on what really matters? So I have a way forward for you if you want to push into this. If you want to achieve not just six, but seven, here's some ways that you can change the factors. And I'm going to have them up on the screen. And then at the end of the service, they'll remain up on the screen if you want to look at them a little bit later on. Here we go. Spend some time working out what matters, what really matters. what really matters for your life. You know, I mean, I'm in my 40s. I remember mid-40s thinking, there's more miles behind the cart than in front of the horse. What am I going to push into that has significance? How am I going to narrow down all the things that I've been wanting to do to that which I must do, which God created me to do? Second thing, which follows on from the first, what are you going to invest your life in? What is it that it is worth the investment of your life? The third thing, which follows closely on, what is your life worth? What things are worth your life and your time? If watching TV is it, then do it with all joy. If watching MasterChef, and I see the new ones coming out, if that like rocks your boat, then do it with all joy. I can't stand it. It's not worth my life's time to watch it. Why do you want to do voyeurism when you could do real life yourself? Anyway, it's another sermon. Here's the fourth thing, which I wanted to put at the end, but I'll put here. Find a quiet place and use it often. Be rigorous. Find somewhere and shut out the noise. Hold it back. It might be a chair before everybody else gets up in the morning. It might be a chair before after everybody else has gone to bed. It might be just a spot in the garden shed. It might be the park across the road. It might be a little walk somewhere like that. Find a quiet place and go there often. Next, make a simple plan with some timelines and dates and make incremental steps towards achieving what I'm suggesting are year-long goals, or I should have written there, godly goals. If you say, for instance, you want to increase the influence on your life of godly things, and you say, I love reading, so I'm going to read 6 books this year that would increase God's voice into my life. And so you find 6 godly authors and you read them and say, okay, that means I'm going to read 1 every 2 months. Have I got my maths right? I'm not applying for the business manager's role. I got 1 every 2 months. Okay. Now, so very simply, diarize every 2 months. I should have read the book by now, but maybe it's halfway through, diarize. I should have read half the book by now. Make some goals and progressive goals. This is so simple. You guys know all this, don't you? Nod your head. Please nod your head. Second last thing. Ask others to help you. This is an accountability section. And this is a great way to get connected into a small group or to lead a small group, be part of a small group. Ask others to help you, to keep you accountable. Tell them your goals. I want to read 6 books this year which will influence my life. And so they're going, you know, how are you going reading those books, Jonathan? I'm like, well, actually, I'm reading a Daniel Steele book. It's not quite, I'm not reading Daniel Steele book, don't worry. Do you know what I mean? It keeps you honest, because if somebody else knows and you give them permission to ask you and push into your life, then they will. Last thing, ask others to critique your assumptions and help you discern the voice of God. There is nothing like going, I think God is saying this to me. I think this is my life's purpose. I think this is where I need to go in the future. And for you to say that out loud to somebody else who acts as a mirror to you, because sometimes when you say it out loud, it's just like, that is dumb. And other times, someone else can say, yes, but have you thought about this? Ask somebody else. Invite someone else into your life. It might be a mentor, but it might be your partner. It might be someone that you trust. And allow them to speak into your life as well. You know, when Jesus changed water into wine, he did so knowing that this is what God had made him to do. And he did it so knowing that people matter. And here's the thing that I want to leave with you this morning. When you continue to allow God's work in your life and you continue to hear his voice in your life becomes less ordinary and more extraordinary. And God allows you and assists you and helps you to thrive. Let me pray. It's extraordinary, God, that you would want the best for us. It's quite amazing that you would give us life and then allow us to choose what we do with it, but that you open up a path for us that is so profound. And if we're to follow it, and have the courage and the obedience and the tenacity to stick with it, that it opens out so many more things and opportunities and privileges that, that, that we never quite realize. And we thank you for that. You're a great God. And you bless us with things that go beyond our understanding. And we pray that we'd have just a little perception of that as we walk into this new year. But as we get to the end of the year and we turn around and look back and we go, surely the living God was amongst us. That he led us and he developed us and he brought us to be a people and a person and a church that is far more than what we've ever realized before. We thank you that you engage with us in this way. Help us to be able to engage with you in similar mannerisms too. In your name we pray. Amen.